This is Lachlan Rouston.
This is Raph Friedman. And you're listening to the fittest podcast in Australia,
The Mind Muscle Project. Project, welcome back to this episode. We have finished the entire lineup of the US podcast tour. We've got some exciting stuff coming. We're doing some major website upgrades and overhauls. We've got some pretty interesting stuff in terms of the content that we're coming out. We're just kind of like we're putting a lot of our words, our spoken word, into written word, put it that way. So our team is just working on that at the moment. So you'll be able to kind of synthesize a lot of our information on your computer screens. You can read up on it because, you know, like a lot of this information, right, we put out so much content now that sometimes it gets a bit lost, right?
Yeah.
Sometimes you want it just kind of in one spot. And that's what we're trying to do for you guys. We're trying to distill it down into some more readable, usable parts so you guys can save it and put it wherever you want and share it however you need. So, we'll pump. That tour went extremely well. I'm definitely excited to book wherever the next place takes us. We haven't said 100% the US. We could go to our next most popular listenership,
which Hawaii. I just want to go
same
there.
Country. Well, we can stop there on the way to the UK.
I was thinking it was good to go.
Yeah, we can stop there on the way to the UK. And this week, opening up the next lot of guests we have on the show, we have Jesse Golden. Jesse Golden, we actually tried to tee this one up in the States.
It was meant to be our last show in the States.
Yeah.
But we extended the time in NorCal, and we had basically that last day of super training.
Yeah. And Jesse is, she is basically a... Well, I would say she's an incredible story, that's for sure. And she uses that story to help share lessons and provide guidance nutritionally and physically for people that suffer from rheumatoid arthritis, which as you'll hear in this show, if you guys haven't heard of it before, it's a very debilitating chronic disease. And what's interesting about this is most of the onset of this stuff, I think she mentions, is genetic, but also I think there is some lifestyle-induced rheumatoid arthritis for people that are quite unhealthy. The irony of this whole thing is that she got it at a very young age when she was supposedly extremely healthy from an objective standpoint. So it's interesting how she deals with it, how she deals with it today, how her relapses and trying to raise a young family with the condition as well. It's a pretty powerful, powerful story. And I think you guys will really enjoy this one.
It's pretty inspirational.
If you get a lot out of these shows, with these interviews, the best thing you can do, guys, tag us and share it on your social media, but also tag them as well. We love to see it and share it and post it at the end, but they do as well. You know, they want to know that the time they're investing sharing their story on different podcasts, you know, hit home with some people as well. So thank you, Jesse, for sharing your time, and guys, thanks for listening. Before we jump into the interview, there are a few people that we want to thank. The people who created the True Protein Bar. Absolutely fantastic. Now, I think we go on about bars more than we go on about actual bars. So, protein bars more than we go on about barbells. But I just love True products. They always sit well in your stomach. They always taste good. They have the smallest amount of ingredients possible. And they just make the best substitute post-workout. Like, they have the proper blends post-workout, pre-workout. And everything in between. So, if you guys want to... we're recommending at the moment, look, just disregard all the protein powders and stuff we said in the past. The bars are the shit right now. And if you have not started on the bar train, people keep sending us in different bars for us to try. But I'm telling you, it's going to be hard to overtake the quality of this bar. It's trueprotein.com.au. Use our code MINDMUSCLE10. You'll get 10% off when you check out. Make sure you get a whole box of the bars as well. So, get someone else to chip in with
you. We have our boxes on our way. It's been a lonely, lonely time without them.
It's not going to last long.
Yeah. They say, I think, you know, it's like a certain amount of time supply. I'm telling you right now, that's not how long they last.
They should have a subscription service to the box.
Yeah, like a daily subscription of box.
Yeah.
Daily. For me.
There it goes.
And also brought to you today is True Coach. This is another one that, like the bars,
different company.
In my dream land, I would have every single day.
Yeah.
I use True Coach every day. It is how we get our individual programming. You can get group programming, but it's really created for individual programming where a coach programs for you. I think that is where they are, without question, the best in the world for it. Delivers to your phone. It's got video. It's got iPhone. It's got Android. At the gym, we use it for the coaches to deliver extras or holiday programs for clients.
Right.
And store their goals, before and after photos, everything. So, it really is essential.
It's like it's our individual client management tool. And you guys will be surprised. Like, we're in a technological age, right? So, the more capable technologies you have inside your organization, inside your gym, in your personal training business, whatever you use, the more, like, just the better retention you'll get with your clients, the better service you'll be able to deliver to them. So truecoach.co, so there's no M, truecoach.co/MMP, and you guys can pick up our offer. It's a free trial, and then you get a percent off the next month. So truecoach.co/MMP. All right, guys, here we are with Jesse Golden. All right, My Muscle Project, welcome back to another episode. We're back in the studio for the first one since the USA podcast tour, and we're kind of riding off the back of the network that we built there. So our first recommendation is Jesse Golden. We did try and tee it up while we were in the States, but the LA stop didn't make sense for us in the
end. Turns out Los Angeles is far further from San Francisco than we thought.
Yeah, it's a small drive. And we are excited to, well, firstly, thank you to Sean, Dr. Sean, for this recommendation. Sean told a little bit of a story about his adventure to us. I'm not sure if it got included in the podcast. It was about Jesse Itzler, who's like a savage billionaire player guy, but he's apparently super awesome. And you know, this is how Sean went on one of his retreats, and this is how he got connected with you, Jesse. And I think you have a super interesting story. You have something which keeps recurring, becomes a recurring theme with the guests that we're getting on, is the first half of my life was super intense. It was pushing myself, it was building lots of muscle, lifting lots of weights, feeding sort of the early ego. But then a lot of people are starting to say, oh, you know, I'm shifting into a little bit more spiritual, a little bit more chilled these days. Training's kind of taking on different meaning. And that's kind of the place you find yourself in, Jesse. So before we get to that spiritual side of things, take us through that early phase in your life when you were coming up, ballerina, pushing yourself, that whole jam there.
Yeah. First of all, thanks for having me, guys. I grew up in the dance studio. My mom actually owned a dance studio, so that was the environment that I grew up in. It's everything that I knew. And I didn't really know any difference. Looking back, when I was kind of going through my healing journey, I was like, wow, like, dance was such a huge part of my life and really set the foundation for everything in my life. Like, just to the dedication and the passion and the discipline, it really filtered into every aspect of my life. But it was tough. You know, I missed out a lot on my childhood. I spent hours in the dance studio a lot. It's very critical environment. You know, you're I think, you know, much like a gym, I mean, some gyms don't, but you know, there's a mirror the size of the entire room, so you can look at yourself and judge yourself the entire time. And then there's also a teacher pointing out everything that you're doing wrong. So it's a very critical environment to grow up in. And you're trying to achieve the state of perfection the entire time that never exists. It's almost, you're never good enough. Or, you know, but to join a company, you're too tall, or you're not good enough, or, you know, whatever it is. So, but this thread, this seed that was planted, literally went into every aspect of my life. Anything that I did, I just went 1,000 miles an hour. There was nothing that I couldn't do. If somebody said, you can't do this, I would have to do it. And that's just kind of how I ran. And then completely unexpectedly, I was diagnosed with rheumatoid arthritis at 29. Which was a complete shock, because, you know, to myself and to everybody that was in my life, I was considered the epitome of health. I was very unusual for my time. I became a vegetarian at 11, was a ballerina. I had a son at that point. I gave birth at home naturally. Like, everything I did was like very holistic and very natural. So when I got sick, everyone was shocked, and I was the most shocked. And I thought, you know, I was just going to do what I always did, and that was to push harder and to try and come out the other end and get better. But this particular disease, which a lot of people don't know what rheumatoid arthritis is, including me when I first got diagnosed, it's a systemic disease. It's autoimmune. So your body, sees healthy cells as bad cells and attacks them, causing extreme inflammation, not only in the joints, the synovial joints, which is everything that bends, but your heart, your lungs, your eyes, everything. So it's not anything like osteoarthritis or regular arthritis. It's an autoimmune disease. And it came on really, really fast for me. I did feel some symptoms, but as an athlete, I was used to being in pain and I was used to ignoring the symptoms and the signals. You know, my entire life, I was taught to just push through it. And if you feel pain, ignore it. In fact, my mom, you know, who was also my dance teacher, if I got sick, it was like, go to the studio and sweat it out. So this was my whole childhood. So I allowed the symptoms to get bigger and bigger and bigger. And for me, I was forced to listen because I literally became bedridden to the point where I didn't walk for a year of my life. And looking back, my character or type of person that I am, that was really the only way I was going to listen because I was going to keep going and just kind of ignoring it. Mm-hmm. But in those moments, you know, when I was bedridden, that's when I really learned the lessons. I believe that disease is given to us to like learn something. And then once you learn it, you can be free of it. And, getting back to what you were asking, so I'm in a much more gentle space. I mean, yoga gave me that gentle space where, it was the first time that I connected breath with movement. It was the first time that anybody, any teacher had ever said to me, if you get tired, you can go into child's pose. I mean, that was insane to me. Like nobody ever said, if you get tired, you know, if you get tired, you do more, you know? Hmm. So I've incorporated that mostly because I've been forced to. My body just does better with a more gentle practice and tuning in with myself. Like there are some days where I do still go hard, but it's not a robotic thing. I check in with myself every day to see what my body needs, you know?
Hmm. So give us an idea. So rheumatoid arthritis, you said it's a systemic condition. So what are some of the symptoms that are showing up like on a daily basis or a weekly basis?
Yeah. So swelling in all the joints is the most, one of the most common symptoms. You can get like the flu-like symptom. You run like a low-grade fever because it's like an infection. You're really tired. You can lose weight. And then over time, what happens, I love sharing this statistic because it really puts things into perspective for people. 10 years after diagnosis, 60% of people are considered completely disabled. Wow. I'm at year 11.
Like wheelchair disabled?
Wheelchair disabled. They consider disabled, I don't know if it's wheelchair disabled, but they consider disabled where you can't do like 5 of the main 10 functions in a day. Like, you know, you can't get up and go to the bathroom, or you can't, you know, open a door, just like basic things. So what happens over time is the inflammation eventually starts to deform the joints. Mm-hmm. And that's why you become disabled, you know, whether it's, you know, your hands or your hips or your knees or, you know, I still have some days where I don't feel great. And I'm actually in this interesting guinea pig phase right now. I just had stem cell infusion 2 weeks ago. I don't know if you guys know anything about that, but
a little bit.
Do you know about it?
A little. Well, I mean, we've heard the mainstream media stuff on stem cells, but we don't know many people that have had them.
Me neither. I mean, I've heard of people like get injections in their knees and stuff. I actually had an infusion for an hour of stem cells. So there's been great results with chronic disease. So basically the stem cells go in there and retrain everything in hopes that, you know, your body stops killing itself, basically.
Has it made a difference?
So there's like a die-off process where you actually get really, not sick, but like really tired, and I just didn't feel good the first couple of days. But it could take like a month to kick in. But normally the inflammatory factors go down right away. And I feel okay. I can't really tell yet. Tomorrow will be 2 weeks,
okay.
But I've been documenting the process and I'm super excited, and hopeful.
Right.
So it's general rather than specific. It's not like fixing one of your joints. It's just like a general fix across the board.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing what they're doing with it. A lot of it, the best doctor that's doing it is in Panama, but I actually had it done here in California. But like they're doing like, I mean, people with like, you know, serious heart conditions, all kinds of chronic diseases. They're even doing, they just started doing like quadriplegics and, you know, they're having amazing results, but it's, you know, getting it approved by the FDA and all that stuff is a whole nother situation. But I'm hoping that, you know, at some point it will be available because it's amazing what it's doing.
Mm, that's really cool. So coming back to the arthritis, there's no cure at the moment. So it's once you're diagnosed, that's it. You've got it for life.
Yeah, it can go into remission.
Okay.
But there's no cure. About 10 years ago, all people could really do is take methotrexate, which is a form of chemotherapy, and steroids, you know, to help with the pain and the swelling. Now they have something called TNF blockers, which supposedly stop the progression of damage, but they're very hard on the system. You know, it's like, I'm sure you guys have seen commercials, Enbrel, Humira are the two biggest ones, Remicade. The side effects are really high. Like, I mean, like side effects could be cancer, and like, you know, all, really, really gnarly stuff. So there's not many options.
How,
you know?
How many people does it affect? Like one in...
I should know this statistic. I just read this and I was like, I should memorize this. I knew someone was going to ask me. I'm not sure, but it's pretty high.
Right.
You know?
But yeah. Did you take it or is this... You didn't go down that path?
I did. You know, when I first got diagnosed, I did everything my doctor told me because I was terrified and I was scared. And they also have this theory that if you treat it aggressively when you first get diagnosed, you have more of a likelihood of going into remission. So I did what they told me, and that was a cocktail of methotrexate and TNF blockers. Methotrexate is chemo. And my body responded very bad. I had all the negative side effects to the point where the line became blurred. Like, what are the negative side effects and what are the disease? Like, I just wasn't feeling right. And I know this as myself. I didn't know when I was super young, but I'm super sensitive and I feel things differently and a little bit more sensitive than others. If I take a medication, 90% chance I'm going to have the side effects. Like that's just how my system works. So then I decided I was going to try everything Eastern, medicine, and in the realm holistically, and I basically took a year off. This was the year that I couldn't walk. And I spent my entire life savings trying to heal myself. And I had a macrobiotic chef, which is I had a macrobiotic counselor by the name of Mina Dobick. And she was trained under this guy called Michio Kushi. And she cured herself of stage 5 ovarian cancer. She was given like 3 months to live. And this was 30 years ago. And so I did the macrobiotic way. I had a chef like 7 days a week just because I couldn't literally physically cook the food. And my entire life was regimen, like from what I did in the morning. I was in a major healing journey. You know, every part of my day was timed out, which is the macrobiotic way. Like you eat at a certain time and you do certain body scrubs. You drink certain teas at certain times of the day because certain organs are associated with different times. And it's a very interesting concept. And they believe that it takes 90 days for your body to go acid to alkaline. So I said, okay, for sure, I'm going to give myself at least 90 days. And I still wasn't doing well. So I kept pushing through and I went a couple more months. And along with a million other things, I was actually, I had just finished my yoga teacher training at that time. So I knew a lot of people in that world that had a guy that could heal me. And I was willing to try anything. So I had this like shiatsu guy who was blind. I had a guy from Mexico bringing healing clay out. Like I was like anything, I'll try everything. And, basically what ended up happening was after about a year, my family had an intervention and they said, okay, this is crazy. You should go back to the regular doctor. And I did. And they hooked me up to an IV of steroids for an hour to bring the inflammation down because they had never seen somebody allow themselves to go through that much pain basically for an entire year. And the next day I could walk again, and I actually started running for the first time in my life. Just because I was so grateful that I could move and use my body. And I ended up staying in remission. I went on medication for a couple months and then I weaned myself off because I said, I don't want to do this for the rest of my life. And then I ended up being in remission for several years. And I really think it was a combination of everything. My system was so clean from doing the macrobiotic stuff. I had done the spiritual work. I mean, there were so many aspects. When people ask me, like, how did you do it? There's so many aspects to how I did it and how I'm continuing to do it. I don't like to say I healed myself because I didn't. I say I choose to thrive despite it. Because that, you know, that's the space that I'm in and that's a choice, you know, that I make every single day.
Right. And so it went into remission, but it did come back. So how long were you in remission for?
I was in remission for a couple of years. I felt great. And then I have this whole theory, where like, as soon as the immune system is compromised at all, whether you have a stressful situation, or you get sick, I feel like it can kind of sneak in. It finds that weak spot and then it like sneaks back in. And I had this, this really intense move, where I could tell my body was literally in fight or flight for like 3 weeks where I was just packing and moving and so stressed out. And I felt great. You know, you feel great when you're in that state, you know, your adrenaline's running through and I was like feeling good. And I remember I moved and I finally got into my house and everything was perfect. And I'll never forget, I laid down in my bed and I relaxed for the first time in like a month and it snuck in. Literally the next morning, I couldn't walk again.
Oh, shit.
And that's how it is. It just comes on like, you know, people ask, is it diet? Is it this? Is it that? And yes, of course, like diet is a huge way to empower yourself. But so much of it is spiritual and how and what you do on a daily basis to keep yourself healthy mentally.
So you mentioned spiritual a few times. Can you, I mean, everyone has their own interpretation of what spiritual means. Can you like define as best you can like your interpretation of spiritual?
Yeah, I do use the word spiritual a lot. And I think when I say that, like I'm... the internal work, you know, I've always been kind of drawn to like the spiritual side of things, whether it's, you know, talking to spirits or prayer or, you know, obviously yoga, meditation and connecting with myself. But what I'm specifically talking about, especially with me and rheumatoid arthritis, I noticed that a lot of my internal dialogue was very negative. And I noticed that when I was bedridden, the most uncomfortable place for me to be was in stillness with myself. I filtered and transmuted everything in my life up to that point by movement. I danced, I worked out, I was moving all the time. And when you can't move and you're forced to sit with yourself, all this shit comes up. And I noticed a lot of it was like really negative and it stemmed back from being in the ballet room and judging myself constantly. So I just started kind of noticing these patterns of negativity and then trying to bring awareness to them, acknowledge them and then switch them. Louise Hay has always been a huge mentor in my life. She wrote a book called You Can Heal Your Life, and she's like the affirmation goddess. And she believes that for every ailment you have, it's associated to like a mental issue or an experience that you went through or that you accepted. And so she helps you like figure out what that is and then gives you a positive affirmation to change it. So a lot of my spiritual practice when I was really sick, was checking in with myself and seeing like, what had I accepted along the way and what wasn't working for me, and beating myself up was doing no good. And I still continue that today, you know, this practice. And I think one of the best ways to do, I talk about this in my book, and this is the easiest way that I can explain it, that like I tell my son, if he says something negative, I say, okay, I want him to acknowledge it. And then I say, let's replace it with three positives. Because it's actually been proven that you can rewire your brain, you know, and we're kind, I guess we're wired for the negative as a survival mechanism. So you have to practice it on a daily basis to like rewire it. And I think it affects everything, your health, the way you feel, the way you think, creates, you know, everything.
Yeah, absolutely. So you had to experience this entire process of healing yourself whilst you were looking after your son. How did you manage that? Obviously, a lot of help from other people.
Well, this is the crazy thing, because I've been a single mom. My son just turned 15. I don't even know how I've been a single mom, let alone being sick for a chunk of it. That was also part of my healing, was allowing people to help me. I'm not good with that. I'm very self-sufficient and independent, but I had my mom, flew out and helped me. And I had some, amazing friends that would help me. And I did end up having to hire some help as well, but it was very challenging. It's interesting though, too, because I think when people get disheartening news, or, you know, in this case, I got a disheartening news that I had this disease. And I think it's normal for people to instantly be like, why me? And kind of become the victim and get really sad. And that's fine. And that's normal. But I think, it can become really toxic if you sit in that space. And because I was a mother, I didn't have an opportunity to sit in that space. I cried, and then I started doing my research. And I was like, I have to empower myself. What am I going to do to get better? Because my son needs me. And so in that situation, it was fuel for me, you know, to get better.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, that's tough. I mean, single mom, and let alone being almost nearly disabled.
Yes.
You've done well. You've done extremely
Thank
well. I'm
you.
Sure an inspiration for a lot of moms.
You know what's interesting? Thank you so much. You know what's interesting too, that I just thought of, like, I was kind of, because I was a single mom, I was like, I feel like I could have been a doting mother. My son was 3.5, 4 when I got diagnosed. I feel like it actually ended up being a blessing, because he had to start doing things for himself, like that I probably would have prolonged, you know, like tying your shoe or getting dressed, or like, when I physically couldn't do it, I was like, well, Kaleo, let's get your shoes on. You know, when normally mothers would just do it for them. So in that situation, he kind of had to grow up a little bit faster, which now looking back, I think was a blessing.
Mm. Yeah, that's cool. That's super cool. So tell us about how you got into this yoga practice. So you mentioned you still do some intense stuff. Does that involve yoga, or is that different? Is that weights? Is that running? How do you train without subjecting yourself to more pain through the arthritis or with the arthritis?
Well, it depends on the day. Like if I'm having a day where there's a lot of inflammation, like I know just right off the bat not to push myself, but I still practice yoga. I am a yoga teacher. I love Pilates, which the type of Pilates that I do is, it's not the reformer. I'm like, I don't even know what type of machine it is. But we use a lot of weight, but it's still a gentle practice to me. I actually just started doing more weight training with my boyfriend, who knows what he's doing in a gym, because I wanted to actually put on a little bit more muscle. I thought, oh, this will be fun. Let me see what this feels like. So I definitely have to do something every day, but it's not necessarily like pushing myself to an extreme, you know, where I feel horrible the next day.
Right.
So I can do about 45 minutes of like a good intense workout, and then I'm good.
Yeah. And do you notice any negative results the next day if you push yourself too hard? Like, does the inflammation kick back in a little bit harder, or are you more beat down the next day?
Yeah. Like anything too intense, I just don't, it doesn't really do good on my body. Like, for instance, I can do heavy weights for a short period of time, but like for me to like go to like, some kind of a, like, I don't know, like an intense class for an hour where I'm like sweating my face off and like pushing myself and I want to die and I'm gonna feel like I'm going to throw up the whole time. Mm-hmm. That is not going to be good for me the next day.
Yeah.
You know, but I can do heavy weights. Like I can do heavy squats for like 20 minutes and still feel good the next day. Cause I'm not like, does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
So, did you ever try reincorporating meat into your diet, or have you stuck to the vegetarian since then?
Yeah. So I've kind of gone back and forth. When I became a vegetarian at age 11, it was strictly because I made the connection between what the animals and the food I was eating. I had never, that was the first time I made that connection. And I became an activist and I was really annoying. I took every opportunity, every dinner table opportunity to start an argument with people. And I joined PETA and, you know, I did that whole bandwagon, much like a lot of Instagrammers right now. Mm. And then I started eating meat again when I was like 20 years old. I started craving it. And I think it was because I just wasn't eating right. You know, I didn't know what I was doing and we didn't have all the resources we have now. Started eating meat again. And then when I got diagnosed with rheumatoid arthritis, one of the things, you know, it's a trigger. You know, there's certain foods that are inflammatory factors. So I did whatever I could to heal myself. So, of course, it was like, get rid of meat, get rid of dairy, get rid of nightshade vegetables, get rid of sugar, get rid, you know, anything. I was like, okay, I'll do it. And then recently I went through some health stuff where I couldn't eat grains and I was only eating vegetables and I just felt completely depleted. So my friend was like, you know, you should start drinking bone broth. And so I started drinking bone broth again. And then my friend made me borscht and she said, I want to put the chicken in there because I think it's good for your joints. So needless to say, I am eating a little bit of meat currently right now, just vegetables and meat.
What's borscht?
Borscht, it's a Russian soup made out of beets. It's really, really good. My girlfriend's Russian and she usually makes me a vegetarian one, but she wanted to soak the bones in there for me because the cartilage and everything and you know.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of like alternative stuff in your life. Is there some particularly weird practices that you have that you have, like the old you would have thought this is never going to work? And that, I mean, you know, people know yoga makes you more flexible. They know it calms you down, right? That's one of those things. But is there some stuff that you've started incorporating that even the old you, or maybe even you now, questions if this actually is legit or not, but you're trying it anyway?
I'm constantly trying everything. I mean, obviously, I just did stem cell therapy. Even at my house, like I have like a infrared sauna. I have, you know, a swing where I hang upside down. Like I've tried to create these things in my environment so that I'll do them more. I feel like I have a lot of weird things. Like my son is always kind of rolling his eyes at me, but I'm trying to think if there's anything that would stand out. I mean, I feel like a lot of the things because of social media are becoming more common, you know, like we talked about cold plunge. There was a while where I was doing cryotherapy every single day. A lot of people don't know this, but cryotherapy was actually invented for rheumatoid arthritis in Japan in the 70s. So it was great for breaking down inflammation. I mean, if I had a cryo chamber at my house, I would definitely do it every day. So I definitely believe in, like, you know, infrared saunas and cold therapy. And I try and get in nature every single day, like take my shoes off and go sit in the sun. Mm. And you know, that's super healing for me. But, and then I have a bunch of other, like, you know, like goofy spiritual things that I do that probably people would think were crazy.
Yeah. It is interesting that your whole life has, I mean, it doesn't control your life, but it's become so much a part of your life. Rheumatoid arthritis, it's that all your practices and how you move through your day, and now the stuff that you do for a living is based off this event in your life. And I'm sure that a lot of people that have been diagnosed with this in the past, it's done the opposite. It's just taken over everything, and instead, right, they become disabled. So do you get people with this condition reaching out to you and wanting to know, you know, to get themselves out of the situation? Have you found that the stuff that you're helping with for yourself works with other people?
Yeah. I mean, that's kind of how I started my whole company. Was when I got sick, I was still modeling full time, and I was really grateful because I helped launch like many of the yoga brands that we know now today, but at the time they were just starting. And I was a model and a yoga teacher, so I was able to kind of jump on that bandwagon and extend my career. Same exact time I got sick, a lot of these companies gave me a platform to share my story because it sold yoga pants. It was like such an inspiring story. Like, here's this girl that like didn't walk, and now look at her because she's wearing my yoga pants. You know, she's good. But what ended up happening was, I started, at the time there was only Facebook, I started just getting all these Facebook emails and messages of people saying, how did you heal yourself? How did you do it? Da, da, da. And it would keep me up at night. I was like, I remember how that felt. Like, it's so, it, at the time, you know, it wasn't like now where you can go on Pinterest or you could go on YouTube or you could even go on Instagram and like find people that are dealing with what you're dealing with. There was like one book on rheumatoid arthritis. Like, there was like nothing. And so I kind of put a face to it, and a face of hope. Like, oh my gosh, this lady, like, I was on the cover of New York Times magazine shortly after I originally got better. And that's why I started my blog, was because I couldn't physically answer everybody's messages, and I wanted to help these people. So I started a blog called The Golden Secrets, where I just started sharing basic secrets. Like, this is what you can do to empower yourself, like through diet. This is what you can do to empower yourself through yoga. And then it slowly bled into, I was sharing parenting stuff. I was anything. And I would always say, you know, I'm not saying I'm an expert. This is what worked for me, and take what works for you or resonates with you, and then leave the rest behind. But through that journey, I decided that I actually did want to get some kind of certification. So then I became a holistic health practitioner as well, in between that whole thing.
Right. How does the Western medical world view your, I guess, your secrets? For lack of a better term, do they come at you like, hey, this is, you know, because the Western versus Eastern stuff is always a heated battle, right? It's like science versus religion kind of thing. So, have you copped heat for some of the stuff that you've been saying from the Western medical community?
You know what? I haven't. And I'm actually surprised that I haven't. I think it's because I feel like that there is a place for Western medicine, 100%. I don't bash it. I just think that I always tell people nature first, like do everything that you can in your power, before you just take a pill. Because if you just think you can take a pill, you know, you're going to end up probably taking another pill and another pill and another pill. Like, do everything that you can first naturally. And then if that doesn't work, like even for myself, like I know there might come a time where I might have to go on medication again or, and just becoming adaptable. But even my own personal doctor who she's internal medicine and rheumatologist, she's always like, what are you doing now? What are the latest things? Like, she wants to know like what I'm doing. You know, I'm like, I'm doing cryotherapy and I'm doing red light sauna and, you know, she finds it fascinating. And I think as much as, you know, a lot of the more conservative doctors are against it, that is the way that, we are moving. Like, we're moving into that direction. And I always say it's not anything new. It's old wisdom. We're just coming back to it, you know?
Right. It's interesting because it's difficult when a condition can't be healed necessarily by either side. Like, Western gets some results, but then Eastern gets some results, right? And, you know, you hear a lot of stories, you know, for stuff like cancer, for example, where people do heal themselves through Eastern medicine. And it's pretty shocking. Like, people go on a keto diet and they reduce the size of their brain tumor, or they, you know, they cut out carbohydrates and, you know, they try, you know, some of the macrobiotic stuff you mentioned, or they try pre and probiotics and, you know, they reduce their tumor size. But then you hear people that also try that and it gets worse and they die, right? People would have, or doctors warn, hey, you know, if you're doing this, there are some conditions where you just can't, where it's too far down the line, that we need more extreme treatments. And maybe rheumatoid arthritis kind of falls in that gray area, right? Where it's not so extreme initially. Well, I don't actually know. Obviously, it sounds pretty bad, but it's not going to kill you within the next 10 days, right? And so, there is potentially a little bit of leeway, a little bit of time to try some alternative medicines before you try chemotherapy, which obviously seems like the most extreme end of the spectrum. So, maybe that is why doctors aren't necessarily against trying alternative stuff, because with this sort of condition, you do have a bit more time.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
And I think that, like, you can do it, you know, both at the same time too. If you do choose to do Western medicine, like, I highly recommend still incorporating any kind of holistic, you know, methods to help facilitate and keep you healthy, because a lot of the Western medicine is really hard on your body.
Mm. So give us your top three supplements that you use every day. I'm sure you got some interesting stuff in there. Besides the broths that you mentioned before, what are, like, three different powders or pills or potions that you go to every day?
You said besides what? You caught up a little
besides
bit.
Besides the broths that you already mentioned.
Oh, besides the broths, yeah. So right now, I'm actually taking a lot of stuff right now. I go through phases where I don't take anything. And then I go through phases where I take a bunch of stuff. Right now, so I'm taking, you mentioned prebiotics, probiotics, huge for me. I believe that disease starts in the gut. And if that's healthy, you know, you have more of a chance of feeling good and being healthy. So I take something called Restore, which is a prebiotic mineral supplement. You just put it in your water like 3 times a day. And I take a probiotic. I love Dr. O'Hara's probiotic. And then thirdly, what else is good? I'm taking, let me think. I wish I had the bottle right now. I don't remember the name of it. Let me think what else is good. I mean, D3 is like a must for people. I think a lot of people are lacking D3 and they don't realize it, but especially with autoimmune disease, like, D3 is huge.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's easy in California when it's sunny nearly 300 days of the year. So,
you know, people think that, and especially because I'm in the sun a lot, but I think still your body has a hard time assimilating it for some reason, and you still need to supplement it, especially with chronic disease.
I know it's important because I'm not sure who was telling me the story, but in cancer wards, there's like a time of the day where they roll out all the patients, if they can, outside into the sun. And they, like, open up the blankets and whatever they're wearing and stuff. They're obviously not butt naked, but they're more exposed and they're just kind of getting that sun therapy. And that's, you know, that's in hospitals. So, it's obviously important. Yeah. They do need it.
I love that. Yeah.
That's awesome. So, I did want to ask one more question before we jump into the final four. Did Jesse get the final four ahead of time?
Yeah, it should.
Yeah, cool. Awesome. So, you mentioned that you're a yoga teacher. I want to know if... and you mentioned your boyfriend is like quite a well-rounded gym guy, so he obviously lifts weights and stuff. Maybe you've pushed him into yoga, maybe you haven't. with guys that are, and guys and girls that are pretty into the weight training side of things, what do you think is like a good balance of incorporating yoga? Because even our clients at the gym, they often ask us, oh, you know, I think like yoga is probably a good idea. And I never really know how to answer. I have sort of like a basic answer, but how would you answer the question of, you know, I lift weights, I train hard probably 3 to 4 days a week, and I'm thinking about incorporating yoga into my regular training. How would you answer that as to the best way to add it into someone's regular training routine?
Yeah, I mean, I would say at least one day a week, you know, practicing yoga, but it also doesn't have to be so crazy. Like just doing some simple stretches, or if you start going to a yoga class and you can learn like a simple flow that you can do on your own to incorporate with the weightlifting. Because I always tell people, I mean, I even see like, especially guys that work out, like they have a hard time bringing their arms directly over their head. Some of them have a hard time getting their shoes on, things like that. And these are things that like are going to help you age gracefully. Mm-hmm. You know, having that suppleness in your body and that flexibility. And the only way that you get that is by stretching every single day. Like there's no trick. It's just like working out a muscle. Like if you want a big muscle, like you're going to have to lift weights every single day. But I also tell people like when you don't want to go is when you need to go most. And if you find a teacher that you love, that will change everything. The teacher really makes it or breaks it for you. And I'm grateful that when I went to my first yoga class, I fell in love with the teacher and she helped me fall in love with the practice. But I think yoga is great for everybody. You know, you want to be able to touch your toes.
Nice.
And which type do you recommend? Like, is there a progression in the types of yoga? Like you start with yin and you work your way up, or it doesn't quite work like
that? No, I mean, you can choose what type of yoga. I'm trained in Hatha yoga. I mean, I would definitely recommend starting a beginner class, whatever type of yoga that you want to do, just so you can learn like the foundation of it and how a class like flows. What's so great about yoga is everything you learn on the mat floods into the rest of your life. So like everything that you learn, the mindfulness, the breathing, you can take all of that into the gym or into whatever else you're doing and everything else get better. I mean, that connection, I've never had that connection in any other thing that I've ever done.
Nice. You know? Oh, awesome. There it is, guys. Stop, put some weights down and maybe stretch a little bit more. Get the mat out. Okay, so Jesse, 4 questions. First question is, if you had an opportunity to sit down and interview anyone that is alive today, who would you choose and why?
Yeah, this is a tough one for me. And I just thought of it because actually I'm reading this book on the stem cells, which I was talking about. And there's this doctor by the name of Neil Riordan. I'm going to show you the book actually.
Stem cell therapy. Cool.
Yeah. A rising tide.
He wrote the book. And he's a doctor in Panama, and he's pretty much the expert right now on stem cell therapy. And it's so fascinating. I'm so fascinated by this concept. Mm. You know, the different types of stem cells, where the stem cells come from, how they have a lab in Panama where they actually like pull the good stem cells, which they call golden cells. And then those get, I mean, it's this whole thing. And I'm so fascinated by it. So currently right now, I would love to talk to him about stem cells because I think that that's the future.
Well, it's definitely a modern day invention that I'm sure will, in, you know, 10, 15 years be pretty normal as part of, yeah, pretty accessible, right? That's how PRP started. That's how autologous injection started. And that's how lots of things started, right? So it was alternative. It worked. And then it became mainstream, right? People can make money off it. Don't worry. They'll make it work.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Cool. So second question, what is something that you do every day that maybe you haven't mentioned yet that you feel like is essential to the success of your day?
I definitely take time to tune in every day, you know, which can be challenging as a mom and, you know, owning my own business. But if I can have like a couple of even if it's like when I'm making my coffee or just tune in, check in with myself, see what I need today, I can get more clear about what it is I want to accomplish. But at the same time, I don't like, I've learned over the years to become adaptable. And if something doesn't necessarily go the way, if I don't have time to tune in or if I don't have time to practice my yoga or time, I try to still have a great day. You know, that's my practice.
Yeah, nice. Awesome. I think that for a lot of people, getting sick feels inconvenient, right? And it always feels like it comes at the wrong time. And it's interesting when sickness is normal, is an everyday thing for you, and how you have to start kind of change your mindset about where your expectations lie for what you can achieve in your day. So if everyone could just kind of take a note of that, it's very different, right? It's different to feel good all the time and to be able to wake up and have, you know, the energy really, and just be generally out of pain to kind of feel like you can conquer everything. Now flip that, feel like you wake up every day and you don't have many options at all, and you're hoping for a day that you feel good. It's pretty incredible that you do that every day. Like, it's, I'm sure it inspires a lot of people. So third question is, what is something recently that you've changed your mind on that for a while you held as a strong belief?
Well, we talked a little bit about this, but I would say the vegetarianism,
right?
You know, I think it's really easy to be judgmental and I've done this in a lot of different, I think people do it, like when you become, you kind of get on your high horse about certain things and you think you know everything. And, you know, the last like 15 years through yoga, it's helped me practice compassion for everything, you know, not only animals, but people and like phases of life and like what you're doing. And, you know, I don't like to judge, and I like to just, that's why I don't really talk a lot about it. I talk a little bit about my story in my book, but I try to just teach by being instead of like necessarily preaching things. So if people ask me, I tell them this is what I'm doing today, and checking in with myself is how I get to those decisions. So before, I would maybe even ignore my body's signals if it was craving meat because I was so in my brain, you know, like this is the right way. And now I'm just becoming more fluid and allowing things to progress. And if my body wants certain things, then I allow it, you know.
Definitely.
Do you think that because vegans got super popular in the last couple of years, there'll be a lot of people on the other side that have jumped in and haven't done much research or don't listen to their body as well, that will run into problems after like 3 or 4 years of giving it a go?
You know, I think I do want to say this. I think that the movement of veganism is great for the environment, and it is great for most people. I think it's a great movement that's happening, and I support it because of that. I think there's so many more resources opening up. You know, we have all these alternatives. So I think it's a lot easier for people to be vegan and vegetarian nowadays than it was like when I was doing it. You know, I mean, when I became a vegetarian at 11, my grandma said I was going to die if I didn't eat meat. Like, she literally told me that, and I believed her, you know. So now I think there's so many more resources. And really, it's really actually hard to be deficient if you eat a variety of fruits and vegetables and grains, and you pick, you know, different colors every day. And, you know, it's really hard to be deficient, but I think a lot of people don't eat right, period, even if, whether you're vegetarian or vegan or, you know.
Definitely. Yeah. I think also the problem with vegan, I find, is that people struggle, like you just mentioned, to get basic stuff right in a diet where they can choose anything. And so, if you then limit your options dramatically, which, you know, I would say that vegan probably narrows your foods down to, if you could choose everything, maybe down to like 15% of what you normally can choose, because so many things contain animal products that you would just never know. And as a result, they've made not only choosing a healthier way to eat when they're probably not eating healthier, they're now giving themselves such limited options. So where they can shop, where they can go to out to eat with friends, what supermarkets have certain things available, it's now a much more difficult process, which is why I think so many people get it wrong, because now it's far more inconvenient. They're less prepared. They haven't worked on their diet in the past. They've just made this decision. I'm going to go vegan now, right? They watch some documentary. They're inspired. Some friend sells them on it. They don't realize the amount of work it's going to take on a weekly basis to supplement, to shop, to prepare themselves. And they ultimately just end up eating not enough food at all. They just start going, I can't eat that. I can't eat that. I can't eat that. Comes the end of the day, they might have had like a couple pieces of bread, maybe like a piece of fruit, a vegetable.
And they gain weight. It's funny too, because a lot of people end up gaining weight because they supplement carbohydrates. They end up just eating a ton of carbs or, you know, pasta and stuff like that.
They haven't genuinely assessed if it's a realistic situation in the context of their life. For a lot of people, it's not. If you're choosing to go to be healthier, then generally start with something that fits more easily into your life, is more convenient, and then over time work your way into a more difficult diet like keto or like vegan, because you have limited food options. So
there's a lot of chopping that goes along with vegan. There's a lot of preparation.
I'd imagine so.
It is because most of, you know, well, the food's all fresh. I mean, not that that wouldn't be the case if you weren't, but like, I think the biggest thing that people mess up on is the rotation of food, like, so that you make sure you get all your supplements and colorful foods. I mean, I talk about this in my book, but I love eating local. I love eating what's in season. I love looking into consideration of like where your heritage it comes from, like what did they eat, where your people come from. And also I tell people to, like, if you're going to become a vegetarian, eat like, start with the foods that you're already currently eating that are vegetarian, and then replace like the meat stuff. So don't like just get rid of everything, you know? So if you already are eating like sweet potatoes and asparagus for dinner, okay, we got that. Now you, instead of the meat, like let's get some lentils or some kind of beans or some kind of like Beyond Meat or some kind of meat supplement, so that you're still, you know, getting a meal, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Nice. And last thing, Jesse, what is a book? Well, I mean, you sort of showed one before, but is there another book recommendation you'd have for people?
Yeah, I mean, my favorite book that's made the biggest impact on my life is called Light on Yoga by BKS Iyengar. But the most recent book that I read that really had a huge impact on me was Sacred Contracts by Carolyn Miss. And that would be more on the spiritual side of things.
You were smiling as you said that, so it must be extremely spiritual, this book.
It's pretty far out. I highly recommend the Audible, because she talks, but she's speaking to an audience or something. She's in front of an audience or something, but it's very entertaining, and and I love the way that she takes these far out scenarios and brings them into like the current day. She makes it very accessible.
Nice. Fantastic. Well, Jesse, it's been an absolute pleasure to have you on. So you do actually mention your own business. So some people might be interested in your skincare products. So can you tell us a bit about those?
Yeah, I still hand make everything. It's all organic, handmade, high vibrational. And every product comes with a positive affirmation card. To go back to what we were talking about, so the product becomes the tool or the anchor to help incorporate positive daily affirmation into your life. So while you're applying the product, you're saying all these beautiful, lovely things to yourself, and it's pretty crazy what ends up happening. And it's called The Golden Secrets. And I have a whole product line, some wellness products as well, and my book, The Golden Secrets to Optimal Health.
Amazing. Cool. All right, Jesse, thank you so much for being on. We appreciate your time.
Thank you so much, guys.
Thanks, Jesse.
Bye.
Guys, thank you so much for tuning into this episode of the podcast. If you enjoyed this show, if you liked the words that we spoke and the answers that she gave and the questions that we asked, let us know. It's the only way that we get to see and hear the love and the impact that we're making. We read all of our DMs. We share all the stories. Nothing gets missed. We read all the reviews as well. So thank you guys so much for the people that do it. We just really appreciate you. It's a lot of love and we love doing it. So at the start of this episode, guys, we talk about two companies, both starting with True, because it's not false. True protein, the bars are absolutely delicious.
That's true.
It's the salted caramel is my favorite, and Raphael's is the chocolate. You guys can buy a box of 12. I wouldn't buy one, because if you buy one, you'll just want more, and so you'll just end up having to pay for shipping again. So buy a box. You go to trueprotein.com.au. Use the code MindMuscle10. That'll save you 10% off. Be nice to save you 20% off. Maybe we can organize a big discount at some point. And then, guys, True Coach as well. If you guys need a piece of software to manage your clients, if you need something to program more easily, if you want to just save time, if you want to have a better experience from the coach's end and the client's end, then you guys need to register for a free trial at truecoach.co/MMP. That will sort you guys out. And then you get 1% off the next month if you enjoy it and you choose to continue, which everybody does. So don't be that person that takes the free stuff and then checks out after that. So truecoach.co/MMP to get that offer. All right, guys. Thanks so much. We'll speak to you next week.